couple of business stories now. With the Fed keeping interest rates low and the stock market volatile and bubbling with risk these days, some investment bankers are sorely in need of easy money, like back in the good old 90s or even the past few years on Wall Street. Short of that $58 million windfall we learned about this week that you can get for being fired by Yahoo, that's the severance package for the CFO of Yahoo shown the door earlier this year. Short of that kind of easy money, where are the big returns? Two former investment bankers have figured out that if you really want the two-digit returns, you may have to lose the suit and put on some coveralls. Dan Weissman and Dave Schlachter are principals and co-founders of Jaffa Parks. It's not some exotic biotech startup or maker of iPad apps chasing the next Candy Crunch game, no. Jaffa owns cash-rich, reliable, but utterly unexotic mobile home parks in Indianapolis and across Texas. Trailers, it turns out, are not trash as an investment. Dan and Dave, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
What is the demand for mobile homes right now say about the housing industry, about poverty, about the real estate business right now?
Well, first of all, anytime we discuss poverty, it conjures images of exploitation, we feel. And to be fair, there are community owners who behave like slumlords. And the model works for them because it's usually cost prohibitive for residents to move their homes out of the community, so owners can kind of get away with murder, so to speak. For instance, in all the parks we've bought that have pools, the pools have been covered in green slime. And, I mean, it looks like the birthplace of the Swamp Thing or something. But we take a totally different approach. We found that by investing heavily in the communities, by reopening pools and refurbishing clubhouses, it results in residents, you know, really investing in their own home sites, caring about the communities. You know, it's just really a virtuous cycle that we feel like we can kind of kick off. Do we raise rents? Yes, but modestly and only after we make improvements.
Well, I'm not trying to characterize what you're doing as slumlording or exploitation, but it does seem as though there's a real interesting combination of events that spike the demand here. You've got restricted access to sites because zoning really limits the number of mobile home sites that can go up. So really, it's a whole lot of people looking for this as really their own only alternative. What sort of returns are you getting here or expecting?
Look, it's a good business. It's a good business from our perspective, from an investment perspective. So when you go into to a park and you look at a park that you're potentially going to buy, you look at what the income is in year one. But what we find is that actually when we purchase parks from those that have behaved like slumlords, that those are the best investments, not only for us, but also for the residents in the community. So when we come in and we become the owners of the park, we immediately reinvest in the community, reinvest in new roads, the pool, the clubhouse, basically give the community a facelift. And instantly, residents respond and show pride of ownership with their gardens and community events and things of this nature. So the feedback from them was, you know, resoundingly that the quality of life had gone up and they were pleased with living in a safe and secure and clean community. Was important to them.
How do you handle this by remote control? I mean, you guys are in San Francisco. Your properties are in Texas and Indianapolis
and
around the country. You know, you got people with squirrely credit scores and, you know, there's a rep for the kinds of things that go on in some mobile home parks.
Right.
I would think you'd have to be closer to the action here to really keep control of the situation.
Yeah. Well, we travel a lot. We're generally on the ground about a week out of every month. But despite seeking out an unsexy sector, we have set up our technology in the sexiest way possible using all of the tools. After we purchase a property, we immediately eliminate all cash transactions. We eliminate all paper from the office. Everything is scanned in. All the files go to a cloud system. And so we're able to monitor and control and oversee the operations of our managers on the ground. And that's an important point because whenever we buy a community, we must hire a couple. You generally speaking, it's a couple and it's a generally a man and a woman. And he generally speaking, again, is the maintenance man and she will run the office, collect rent, deal with the community events, resident relations. So we sort of, so to speak, have our eyes and ears on the ground and have the technology in place to manage them and the community.
Do you think of this as a kind of development work in the way that you've had experience in places not in the United States of upgrading communities and community development?
Yeah, so I've worked a lot in developing countries. I lived in India for a year doing a consulting project for the Supreme Court of India and worked in a courthouse that had 200 judges and hundreds of thousands of people traveling through it every week. And one thing that I really took away was the importance of having good policy in place. And so really, as community owners in some of these communities, we have, north of 600-700 people living in them. They're really like small towns, like small cities. And we're really like the government. And we put our own public policy in place. I guess you'd call it private policy. Just having rules and having consistent enforcement in a transparent way, really helps these communities develop after we buy them.
I'm wondering if you guys are like, at a party in wine country there in Sonoma and your cell phone goes off and you have to deal with, I know you have maintenance on the sites, but you have to deal with like somebody parked their monster truck on the neighbor's geraniums or septic goes out. I mean, is that the kind of thing that happens to you?
I would say that maybe 60 to 70% of our day is sort of like the Jerry Springer show. The property management issues that come up managing a mobile home park are colorful. And we love it, but it's certainly not for the faint of heart.
So
it can get a little hairy for sure. I mean, 2 hours after we closed our second deal, I was getting ready to go out and surf, and my phone rang. And it was the property manager, and she said, "Dave, you better go and check the news online. There's a full-scale SWAT team incursion unfolding in your new park. Kind of good luck with that." And they actually ended up, they had a tank in there and guns and, the full outfit. And they ended up arresting the guy who was later convicted of arson and murder in the biggest, crime story of 2012 in Indiana. So those kind of things do happen. And this certainly is not for the faint of heart, but, not all the issues are quite that serious.
So it's Sons of Anarchy meets Breaking Bad with a laugh track.
That's a good way of putting it.
Dave Schlachter is a principal and co-founder of Jaffa Parks. Dan Weissman, also principal and co-founder of Jaffa Parks. They are out in San Francisco, but their parks are across Indianapolis and the state of Texas. Dan and Dave, thanks so much.
Thanks for
having
us.
Very special thanks to Bloomberg Markets Magazine for help on this story.